Now, in the 8th chapter of John, let me just call your attention to several things here that are very applicable. Now, it opens with this incident of the woman taken in adultery. Then, after this, the pattern of John is followed, and that is, after an incident that he has, and here it is a sharp conflict with the religious rulers relative to this woman and what should be done with her, and then he entered into a discourse here, and in that discourse, they made certain sly, suggestive statements concerning him and his background. For instance, let me call your attention to what he says here in verse 33. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" And then the Lord Jesus came back at them and said in verse 38, "I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father." Then they answer him and say, "Abraham is our father." You see, they're questioning his birth, his background. In other words, it was the religious leaders of that day who denied the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus. And he said, "Abraham is our father." Jesus saith unto them, "If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham." Now he labels them. Verse 44, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do." He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. And then finally, in verse 58, Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Do you see what this conflict is all about? This is a woman taken in adultery. They claim that Christ was born as an illegitimate son. He was known yonder in Nazareth. There was a cloud that hung over his head. And he makes it very clear in Psalm 69, he was the song of the drunkards. In other words, the drunkards down at the corner saloon in Nazareth made up dirty little ditties about him and his mother. So we find that they questioned him relative to his background. Now he claims that God is his father, and he is speaking of his heavenly father, for he had no earthly father. He was virgin born, and he's claiming that in this particular passage, "Before Abraham was, I am." And that goes back to Micah, where Micah says that out of Bethlehem he'll come, and he says, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." The child is born yonder in Bethlehem, but the Son of the Heavenly Father, and that's his position in the Trinity, he comes out of eternity. And here you have the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, the argument is not about shepherds and angels at Bethlehem and wise men, and it's not about the stable. That's not the important thing, and it's not a question of what time of the year he was born. When we get on subjects like that, we're dealing with carnal things. The question is, who is he? He still asks the question, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And there's still a difference of opinion. But we today can say with Simon Peter, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And friends, that's what Christmas is all about, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And the little baby that's yonder on Mary's bosom could have called this world out of existence. Now, let's come to the incident here. Now, first of all, let me take a moment to call your attention to the fact that this incident that you have recorded here is not in the better manuscripts, or it's been put in brackets, and you will find that Westcott and Hort in their Greek text absolutely eliminate it, put it at the end, and then Nestle in his Greek text puts it in brackets, and you will find that in your Bible probably you have a note on it. There's a note on it in the Scofield Reference Bible, the old Scofield and the new Scofield Reference Bible. Now the question arises, is John 8, 1 through 11 here, this incident of the woman taken in adultery, does it belong in the Word of God? And I want to take the position that it belongs in the Word of God, and I'll give you my reason for it. Now, the very fact it's in some manuscripts, of course, is interesting. How did it get there? And then why was it eliminated from other manuscripts, even some of the better ones? Well, I'll tell you my explanation of it is just simply this. In those early days, the scribes who copied out the scripture, and you understand it was copied out by hand, there were no printing presses, and evidently some scribe came to this, and when he read it, he said, you know, this may teach adultery, this may teach sin. And having missed the entire point, why, the thing that he did was to put it in brackets or move it over to the end of the gospel where you find it in some of the texts today. And I think that's the way that it got out of the original. I believe that this is part of the Gospel of John, and it's part of the inspired text, and I treat it that way.